Psalms 138. We're just going to look down through these verses because it ministered to my heart and still does. And verse number one, the Bible saying this is a Psalm of David, and that's important. David is now being restored back to the throne. And hang on just 1 minute right here. If I had about 10 more Bibles up here, I'd be good. There's something else I was wanting to see right here. Amen. If I can find it right here. You know, a lot of preachers don't even have a Bible in their pulpits anymore. They get up with electronics and everything else, but no matter what I use, I'm going to have my Bible on the pulpit. I want you to see, I want it visibly to be seen that I'm preaching from God's Word right out of the Bible. Amen. I want to read my scripture right out of here. Psalms 138, and I want you to listen to it. You're probably familiar with it, but I want you to listen to it. I will praise thee with my whole heart. Now, we're going to kindly read and preach through here. Notice David said, I will. He's starting off with victory. He's starting off this psalm. He don't talk about the troubles until verse 7. But he starts off where he needs to start off, his will. Defeat is a will subject. Distraction is a will subject. I will. David says that over and over and over again through the scriptures. In the book of Psalms, one that stands out when I mention I will is Psalms 34, verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. It's a will matter. I will. It's a listen, defeat is a choice. Victory is a choice. Rejoicing is a choice. Complaining is a choice. Being bitter is a choice. Amen. Going to the far country is a choice. Being filled with the Spirit of God, going to Canaan land is a choice. Pleasing God is a choice. Everything goes back to what you say those two words about, I will. Well, look what David said. David said, I will praise thee with my whole heart. Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. David is saying that in the light of the context that is given in verse 7, though I walk in the midst of trouble. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. David is writing this chapter in that light. But David starts out and says, I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before we ever get down to dealing with the troubles in verse 7, I want to make sure my whole heart is right with God. I want to make sure praise is not just some little sideline subject. I want praise to be something that is all-consuming of my heart. Every problem you have in your journey is going to be because of half-heartedness. Amen. I've never been defeated when I was operating with my whole heart about toward the Lord, my whole heart. It's usually when I give a piece of my heart to this, a piece of my heart to that, a piece of my heart to something else. And before, we on target. Lord just confirmed it in my soul. Amen. And we give pieces of our heart to so many things and so many people and so many hobbies, so many, anything can get a piece of your heart. But whatever piece, it may be a small piece that you give to someone else or something else, that's a piece the Lord doesn't have. So David starts out in the context of the troubles. He said, I will praise thee with my whole heart. Could it mean that that's the only praise that actually reaches God is coming from a whole heart? Under conviction yet? I am. I will praise thee with my whole heart. Watch this now. He goes on to say, before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. The gods there, little G-O-D-S, is referring to, Ryrie's got a note on that, is likely referring to the pagan idols of his day. America is given to idolatry. Idolatry is consuming this outfit, this whole nation. But David said, I want my praise of the Lord not to just be internal with my whole heart, but he said, I want my praise unto the Lord to be external. I want it to be displayed before or in the presence of idolatry. I wonder if we're there tonight. I wonder if we're wanting to praise the Lord even in the midst of all the corruptions that's in our day. The idolatry, the idols that's of our day. But he goes on to say, he said, before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. If that will work in the presence of idols, I wonder if that would work in the presence of the devil. Come on now, help me. Do you think that would help if when the devil shows up or one of his weak demons is usually about all it takes for me? What if we purposed in our heart to do what he said in verse number 1? It don't matter if you can carry a tune in a bucket. The devil doesn't care about tune and tone and harmony and all that. The devil don't. And you ought to just start singing. Make up a song. It don't even have to rhyme. Amen. It don't even have to rhyme. And when he's present, just start praising the Lord with your whole heart. And in his presence, he's the author of idols. In his presence, let's sing praise unto the Lord. Just start singing. Just start singing. Amen. That'll work. Look at verse number 2. He goes on further. He said, I will worship toward thy holy temple. It's amazing, isn't it? How David not only hits praise in verse 1 and singing praises unto the Lord, but now he's dealing with worship. Now he's dealing with worship. And worship usually goes when there's troubles. When you're walking in the midst of troubles, worship is one of the first things to go. You can measure where you are spiritually tonight by worship. How long has it been since you worshiped, and what excuses are you using, or what are you blaming the lack of worship on? David said in a context of troubles, and by the way, before you think that we're talking just a mild case of troubles, let me tell you what that definition means. The word troubles means distress, affliction, adversity, anguish, tribulation, adversaries, straits, distress, and tightness. David said, right in the middle of all that, he said, I'm going to worship toward thy holy temple. If temple could represent the church, it would show there that David is making it his business that in the midst of trouble, I'm going to make sure that I'm facing toward the church. I'm facing toward the holy temple. Amen. I'm facing and I'm going to worship toward thy holy temple. He said, I'm going to praise thy name. And he gives three reasons in verse 2. Number 1, for thy loving kindness. Number 2, for thy truth. And number 3, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Verse 3, in the day when I cried, thou answeredest me and strengthenest me with strength in my soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise thee, O Lord, when they hear the words of thy mouth. Boy, he's saying a lot here, isn't he? He's saying in verse number 2 that he's magnifying the word of God above his own name. That ought to give you an indication right there of what God thinks about what's in my hand. God magnifies it above his own name. You know what? There's two types of magnification, or that I'm aware of anyway. There's telescopic. Telescopic magnification is the ability to reach out there to something distant and pull it in close. Making distant things big. Make it close. To a lot of people, this book that I hold in my hand tonight is only a distant subject. It's not close. It's not big. It's just something, I've got a Bible. When's the last time you read it? I don't know. When's the last time God spoke to you out of the Word of God? I don't know. It's distant. But God said, I want to magnify my Word in your life. I want to magnify it even above my name. And then the other type of magnification is microscopic. Like a microscope we used to use in school for experiments and such. I'm not going to get into that. I got in trouble that deal one time. I'm not a biologist, amen, or a chemist or a scientist, amen. I'm a preacher, and thankfully so. Amen. But anyway, I don't want to get on that. I don't want to distract you. But look here. He said, and what does a telescope do? I mean, the microscope. It takes little things and makes them big. The Word of God to a lot of people is distant, but God said, I want to magnify it in that I want to pull it in close to where it is a big subject and a big object to you. Or it could be that it's a small thing, and God said, I want to magnify it to where it is a big thing in your view. I believe every time that I've been discouraged, defeated, and all that kind of thing that all of us can relate to, it usually traces back to where the Bible is distant, not close, but distant, and the Bible is small rather than big. You have that? Can you agree with that? All right, let's look on. Verse 4, I think, is where we're at. All the kings of the earth shall praise thee, O Lord, when they hear the words of thy mouth. He talked about his word in verse 2, magnifying above his name. Here it is, talking about the kings of the earth shall praise the Lord when they do what? Hear the words of thy mouth. Verse 5. Yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly. I want to read that again. Though the Lord be high, and we could take a few minutes tonight and try to expound on that. How high is the Lord? He is the high and holy. There's none above him. That's how high he is. There's none above him. There's none like unto him. There's none that could ever challenge him. There's none that could ever usurp authority over him. There's none above him. But look what it says. Though the Lord be high, yet he hath respect unto the lowly. Well, I like that, don't you? He has respect unto the lowly. I'm telling you, that's good right there. You say, preacher, I ain't nothing. You're qualified. You're getting qualified. You're getting small enough. See, God can't help those that's too big for their britches. God can't help those that are always on the big horse and the right, on the high horse is what I always heard that term. God can't help you. If you're it's all about you and you're you know deserving and entitled of better treatment or whatever. No, I tell you what we deserve tonight. If we got what we deserve, we'd be in hell. That's right. But look what he said. Though the Lord be high, yet he hath respect unto the lowly. That word lowly means the basest. You can't get no lower. He's high. Can't get no higher. But yet he has respect unto those that can't get any lower. There's hope for you, Brother Aaron. There's hope for you. There's hope for me. There's hope for all of us. Amen. You can get so big that God won't do anything except reject and resist the proud. But I want to tell you, if you'll take your place in the dust, amen, and realize you're but dust, that's what God says about us. We are but dust. He knows our frame, and we are but dust. But yet the one that can't get any higher will have respect unto those that can't get any lower. Oh, my goodness. No, it means basest, depressed. Amen. That's what it means, lowly. But then he said, but the proud, those that are elevated, haughty, arrogant. God said, those that are proud, he knoweth afar off, which means a distant place. Remotely from another country. Well, I tell you right now, one of the worst conditions you and I can get in is pride, prideful. God hates it. One of the things, seven things that God said he hated, one of those was a proud look. James 4, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. You can't get too low and too little for God to use you, but you can get too big for God to use you. Amen. It's really not what other people thinks about you, what they think about your reputation that can ruin you. It's what you think about yourself that can ruin you. When you start thinking what they're saying about me is true, and you start fluffing your angel wings and polishing your halo, you're in trouble. Verse 7. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. Verse 8. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. I just noted something there as I read that. Verse 1 starts out with David's will, but verse 8 ends up with God's will. David starts out, I will praise thee with my whole heart. And God lets us know his will at the end. Verse 8, the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Amen. Thou wilt revive me. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Revival cannot be restricted by troubles. And I've said this here. I've said it. Revival's been a subject of interest to me for years, and I preach several revivals and such, but I want to tell you tonight that revival that I know about and have read about has never come in days of prosperity. When God would literally move on continents and nations, it was when they couldn't hardly get any worse. Darkness prevailed, sin and wickedness and debauchery and immorality on levels that couldn't hardly even be described. But yet, if God could find somebody to pray, and I can't talk about that and even get that in my mind, that concept that I don't think about, those two old maid widow sisters that prayed God down into the Hebrides Islands on the coast of Scotland. In their 80s, one of them stone blind, couldn't see nothing. And the other crippled over with a crippling type arthritis that she couldn't even get around, but they were in such bad shape. Physically, they were in such bad shape that they could only pray from about 10 o'clock at night to about 3 to 4 in the morning. That's all they could do. What's our excuse? Blind and crippled. Old maids. Not married. Not married. I'm saying that for these young ladies. There's hope. There's help sometimes in that. But listen, they prayed, and they prayed, brother, for years. They prayed. See, that's where we mess up. We pray a few minutes. We pray a week. We pray, you know, and thankful for the emphasis of prayer. But I want to tell you, it's going to take more. Our country is in such a shape. Our churches are in such a mess. I want to tell you, it's going to take more than just one or two people praying 30 minutes a day or praying here and praying there. It's going to be some, God, raise up some prayer warriors that's going to ring the prayer bells of heaven. Brother Sammy Allen has been sick. He's doing improving and doing a lot better. But you know what I thought about when I heard the news of his sickness? Miss James, how old is he? He's probably in his 80s? He's 84. Brother Sammy Allen, if there's ever been a giant of a Christian, it's been Brother Allen. Brother Allen. Brother Sammy Allen. He prays more than he sleeps. You can't hardly call. I've talked to him a few times on the phone, but I've been told by several preachers there ain't no need calling in the morning, because Miss Jimmy, his wife, will answer the phone and say, well, he can't talk right now. He's in the secret place. Hours he prays. He's probably known for his praying more than his preaching. But the thought come to me, Brother Craig, that giant of a preacher, that giant of an influence, will one day, we will get the news, if Jesus don't come, we'll get the news that Brother Allen has made the crossing. And I'm going to tell you, there's going to be a hole left behind. Now I wonder if anybody's going to fill. Amen. Who's going to take, like my mama was a praying woman. My grandma was an absolute giant of a prayer warrior. Who takes their place? Who's going to step up and be the prayer warrior in their place? Who's going to step up and pray for the kids of the church now? Who's going to make it their business and their responsibility? Amen. Who's going to make it their responsibility to pray for these children? They're being raised up in a world that is so against God. It's always been against God, but it's never been as open. It's never been as in your face as it is now. We need the adults and we need the senior saints to pray. Pray for us. Pray. I need your prayers. Pray for me. Pray for God's men. We're under attack. God's church is under attack. We need people to pray. We need people to pray. Though David said, though I walk in the midst of trouble. Notice he points out here that troubles, and I mentioned this earlier, that troubles cannot prevent God from working. How many times we want to blame God not working on the trouble? We want to say, well, you know, it's dark and it's demonic and it's devilish and all of that, and it is, but that's not the reason. Listen, amen, I'm on target. That's not the reason that God is not moving. I've said it before, Brother Ben referenced some of it this morning when God was using him. Listen, show me in the Bible where demons can quench the Spirit of God. Show me where devils can hinder and quench and grieve the sweet Spirit of God. It is not in your Bible. Are you listening? The only people on earth, the only source on planet earth that this Bible says that can quench and grieve the Spirit of God are saved people. So if that's the truth, and Brother Fultz, it is, then you know what we must do? We must look in the mirror and say, it's me, it's us, it's God's people. We listen, the Spirit of God, is there a need for the Spirit of God to move? Oh my goodness. Is there a need in Hawkins County? Is there a need in the youth in Hawkins County, just in this county alone? Is there a need? Well, then why is God not moving? I'll tell you, you don't have much to work with. Now, listen, let me preach to you a minute. I'm going to tell you why a lot of revivals is nothing but emotions. A lot of revivals is nothing but emotionalism. They want to be stirred up, they want to have goosebumps, and they want to have the chills, and they want all of that, but they don't want holiness, they don't want sanctification, they don't want separation from this world. Brother Craig, when I got saved, in that revival that went 7 weeks, it was not uncommon. In fact, it was a common thing. Every night, every service, you could count on it. There'd be somebody in the altar giving up something. But you can have revivals in Rogersville, Tennessee, that goes weeks and weeks and weeks, and nobody ever gives up nothing. I preach in some revivals along, and I'm telling you, if there's no, listen, I'm telling you, well, I know this to be a fact. When there's no evident direction of people that are supposedly getting revived, moving from worldliness and carnality and flesh walking and flesh living and moving in the direction of sanctification and holiness and purity, mark it down, God is not in it. That's why that it's short-lived. You can have weeks of meeting, and then the time it's over, you can't trace, you can't find a lick of evidence. Amen. I've talked to a pastor not long, well, I'm going to get too plain on it, but I talked to a pastor, and there's supposedly a 3-month or 4-month revival that had been going on. He said, "Preacher, I ain't seen a lick of evidence." He said, "I live here, I pastor here, I've not seen one speck of evidence that there's a big worldwide revival going on right here in our community." When I got saved, listen, when I got saved, people was making a move toward God. I didn't just get saved, you know, move to the Lord to get saved. I didn't just get saved. God started putting his finger on things in my life. Why does God not put his finger on things in people's lives anymore? I'll tell you, one of the reasons is because preachers are silent about sin. We're so wanting everybody to shout, and we're wanting everybody to, you know, have goosebumps and go out and say, "Wow, what a service," that they never mention nothing about sin, never mention nothing about holiness. Is God holy? I want to ask you something. Is God holy? Sure he is. That's his essence. Everything else he is comes out of God being holy. Everything else. Then when God is working and God is moving and God is speaking, does it not make sense? It does to me. I thought about it this week. It makes sense to me to think if God is working in it, he's moving to pull people to himself. And if he's holy and he's moving people toward him, he's moving people in the direction of stepping away from sin and saying no to the flesh, amen, and laying stuff down and going toward God, amen. But most people don't want that. They don't want that kind of preaching. They don't want that. Amen. A lot of them old timers that had revivals that shook, listen, not just churches, but counties and swept, you know, they preached a lot on holiness. They preached a lot on on the wrath of God coming against ungodliness. Amen. We may not be the biggest church in town, and I don't believe God wants that to be our priority. I think we need to make our move toward godliness, God-likeness. We need to make our move toward God. Now listen, we're not talking about, when you're talking about, man, I'm getting hung up. When you're talking about godliness and holiness, we're not talking about a one or a two or maybe three item subject. When you're talking about godliness, you're talking about your attitude. You're talking about your thought life. You're talking about when nobody's looking. Amen. But we've made it to where it's music, movies, and modesty. That's about all of it right there. If you got that, man, you got it. I've seen women wear dresses plumb to the ground. You couldn't even see their toes. And they had a tongue that was about a mile long. Biggest gossipers around. I don't have no confidence in that. I'll just tell you, I don't have a lick of confidence in that. If you can't bridle your tongue, you know what God said? Your religion's vain. That's what He said. Well, better get off that, hadn't I? Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Trouble does not stop or restrict God from moving in your life and through your life. In fact, truthfully, revival generally comes when things are in bad shape. When darkness is prevailing, when sin is rampant. There wasn't one young person in church on the Hebrides Islands. Not one. They were all out of church, all partying, all living the life of sin. All of them. That was the story on it. I read it. Did some research on it. There wasn't no young people in church. None. Where's the young people at? Most churches, they don't have no young people. And if they do have some young people, they don't have no heart for God. Zero heart for God. Amen. But David made it very clear, not only that troubles does not prevent the Lord from working, but he also shows this thing, this truth right here, and this got big to me. He said, though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. He made it personal. He wasn't talking about we. He was talking about me. He said, though I walk in the midst of trouble. Listen, aren't you glad that your relationship to God is not connected to everybody else? Well, I'd get help if he and she and them and those would come on and get on here with me. Let's get in here. No, though I walk in the midst of trouble, I can have revival. I can have revival. And we are in the midst of trouble. We are walking in the midst of trouble, unlike anything I've ever seen in my life. But this passage right here lets me know and lets you know that God can work in you. And I promise you, if He works in you, He wants to work through you. He's got people in mind. There's people that can be reached. Folks, listen. It's not just us going through this 2020 mess. It's everybody. It's everybody. So, Brother David, there's people, lost people, that realize, you know what? And even lost people knows. They might not know all the details of it, but they know something's up. They know that America has changed. You can feel it. Our country has changed. Now, I'm not talking about just changed on a few political things. I'm talking about you can tell that our country has changed. And sinners may not know all about it, but they're detecting something's up. And maybe not all of them, but some of them's thinking about, you know, they may have heard growing up about the coming of the Lord. They may have heard grandma testify and grandpa preach about the coming of the Lord. And they're thinking, this thing's about to wind down. Jesus is coming. And they're thinking, I need to get saved. I need to get right with God. But God is needing a church. God is needing an individual that is not so focused on the trouble that they lose sight of the fact that I need revival and God can revive me even though I'm walking in the midst of. Though I walk in the midst of trouble. That word midst there means in the middle of. Within it, among it, in the center of it, in the heart of it. David said, though I walk right in the middle of it. And if you're in the middle of something, guess what? You can look in any direction and see it. 360, you're in the middle of it. David said, if I'm right in the heart of it, David said, if I'm right in the middle of it, David said, if I'm right in the center of it, all around me is perplexity. All around me is adversity. All around me is affliction. All around me is distress. If I get my whole heart involved, I can have revival. Amen. There's people in this church that are making moves toward God. They are. Not announced. Name's not in the bulletin. But they're making some purposed, personal, on purpose moves toward God. I want to be used of God. I want to be a prayer warrior. I want God to use me. I want God to be pleased with my life. But on the other hand, listen, on the other hand, this whole corona mess is prime circumstance for you to get backslid as a goat and even get out of church. If you want out, you can get out. If you're looking for an excuse to get slack, buddy, you're living right in the middle of it. Amen. But David said, oh, I feel it in my soul. David said, though I walk in the midst of trouble, here's where my heart is. Thou wilt revive me. I want God to use me. I want God to stir me up to be a last day preacher. I want God to move in RBT. To where this church would be a light shining in the last day. My goodness. Though I walk. David, I believe the reason David got help right here is he made it all personal. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, and we're all good at it. We're all good at talking about what's their troubles. If you don't believe me, like Brother Henry said this morning, just ask somebody how they're doing. Anybody, when they come in church, how you doing? Have your medicine on hand? Because you'll probably have to take some. Time they get through telling you all that's going on in their life. And I'm not minimizing what's going on in your life. I'm not minimizing the problem. Do you notice how quickly David went over that? Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. He just moved straight through the statement. He was factual about it. He didn't exaggerate it. He didn't play it down. He didn't deny it. He said, though I walk through the midst of trouble, thou, you better get to the thou. Don't get hung up on the troubles. Get to thou. Thou wilt revive me. Hey! It's amazing, isn't it? And amazing how that you can, when you get to the thou of that verse, how seemingly small the troubles get. When you're walking in the midst of trouble, you're wowed with it. And you're thinking, I don't know if I'm going to make it. I don't know if I'm going to survive. But if you can get to the thou. Because just in that statement, I see it. Just in that statement, though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt provide me. He is saying, my troubles are big, but you're bigger. My troubles is all around me, but you, thou, are above me. Amen. I don't know if you're getting help or not, but it's a helping me. Though I walk, he didn't just deal with the personal aspect. Though I walk, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies. That's why we need revivals, because we've got enemies. Look what it said. So not only dealt with the personal, but notice the progress. David said, though I walk. Worst thing you can do, come on, hey. The worst thing you can do in the midst of troubles is quit walking. Sit down. I'm done. Quit. Throw in the towel. No. Keep walking. Hey, man. Me and Brother Craig and Miss Donna, we try to hit it a lick every once in a while. Walk on for Jesus. Walk on. How's it go? In his name, lifting high the blood-stained banner. Walk on in his name, I guess, name. Quit walking. That's what the devil says. Walk involves your behavior. Walk encompasses your manner and your direction and your path and your way of life. It's just really a one-word description of all of you. Walk on. Just keep moving. Just keep walking. Help is on the way. The worst thing you can do is quit. The worst thing you can do is to fill out your resignation papers. I'm done with this Christian walk. I'm done. No, walk on. Walk on. Hey, walk on. Just keep walking. Just keep walking. You know why? Because when you're walking, you're progressing. Amen. Each step, you're leaving the step behind that you were in. Amen. Just keep walking. You say, oh, but I'm still in the midst of trouble. Yeah, but you're letting the trouble know that you're not stalling me. You're letting the troubles know I'm not getting stuck. I'm still walking. Amen. I may not be running. I may not be running, but I'm walking. Amen. Amen. Oh, Lord, I'm about to get happy. Look here. Look what it says. You said, but preacher, I don't know. I just don't know if I can handle it. Preacher, hey, how many of us know that troubles will wire you out? Well, five or six of us in here, we're honest. Troubles will wear you out. Troubles will drag you down. Troubles will put you to the frame of mind of quitting. Watch it. Y'all ready? I'm fixing to show you something. No, y'all don't need it. Y'all don't want it. Look at verse 3. You say, I can't handle it, preacher. I can't handle it. Verse 3, David is saying, in the day when I cried. That's that prayer again, Sister Jean. In the day when I cried, thou answeredest me. Watch it now. And what? Strengthenest me with strength in my soul. Who's he telling that to? The one that's just going to keep walking. You're walking in the midst of trouble. You'll just tell you trouble. I'm in the midst. You're all around me. I don't like you. I wish you was gone. But I'm going to keep walking. I'm going to keep walking. I'm going to walk to church. Amen. I'm going to keep walking to the altar. I'm going to keep walking into the choir. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to keep walking. We're going to walk into the Sunday school class. We're going to walk into whatever the church has got going on. We're just going to keep walking. Amen. Brother Craig, you know that, y'all hit me. I'm going to come back here, get close enough with you to the mic. Let's sing a verse of that. How does it start? Sometimes. Amen. You say, what is this? It's the mind in God's what it is. Amen. We got to find, well, you done heard, we've sung this 100 times, and I messed up on it. So I got to have it written down. It's in here somewhere. Hallelujah, Lord. Just keep Though we flip through the trouble. Amen. Daylight's coming. That's what you call spur of the moment, on the, putting you on the spot. While they're finding it, maybe we'll be out here before dark. When, listen, you doing all right, Brother Craig?
Oh, yeah.
All right, good deal. All right, we found it. Who starts it? I do. Imagine that. Imagine that. Sometimes your pathway may through uncertainty lie. Circumstances seem to tell you that there's no reason to try. Walk on, walk on for Jesus. Walk on in His name, lifting high the bloodstained banner. Walk on in His name. I felt something on it. Amen. Just keep walking. Son, I'm feeling something on that. Some of you about to put it in park. You're about to put it in park. You're about to put your spiritual transmission, your spiritual life in park. You know what happens when you put it in park, Brother Ben? You don't go anywhere. You stop. You'll be tomorrow where you are today. Brother Adam, I may not be in overdrive, but I'm going to make sure I'm at least in first gear. We always call that granny low. You may not be wide open, sky jumping and all of this, but granny will reach down there and get it when you need to just creep over things and get past things and say bye, amen, to humps and hard places and ditches. Amen, use granny. Use that old low gear. Keep walking. Boy, amen. I come so close, Brother McCarrick, missing God earlier. I didn't have my Bible open. I had leadership, I thought, all day long of what I was supposed to preach this morning. Well, that I didn't get to preach this morning. I said, well, it's got to be God's will that I preach it tonight. But I almost missed God. Amen. I almost missed God. Almost. Amen. But almost don't count. Hallelujah. Keep walking. It's hard, preach. It's hard. Thou wilt strengthenest me with strength in my soul. That means it's not a strength of the flesh. It's not a strength that comes from the external world. It's a strength that comes from vertical on high. Hallelujah. Strength that lands into my soul that allow you to run through a troop and leap over a wall. Just keep walking. Everybody's got things going on in your life, burdens, weighing you down, pulling on you, responsibilities, calling you to be here, be this, be that, in every direction. I want to tell you, you can get so preoccupied with all of the troubles and all the responsibilities of life that you lose focus and you quit walking. Look at it. Amen. Hallelujah, Lord. Thou wilt revive me. Thou wilt revive me. You know what that word revive means? Y'all want to know? That word revive means keep alive. That's the first definition in the Strong's Concordance. Keep alive. Anybody interested in that? What's the opposite of alive? Oh, come on. So if that's the definition, and I don't get revived, which means to keep alive, if I don't get revived in the times of trouble, what does it mean? You see it, don't you? Death. It's going to kill me. My troubles are going to kill me. And I felt that. I felt it trying. I felt it working. All this whole absolute mess, and that's what it is. I'm telling you, I could just feel it trying to kill me. One bad report after another, one disappointment after another. But you know what I found out? God has never used anybody that hasn't been through anything. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, meaning it's all around me, but me walking means I'm going forward. I'm progressing. I'm advancing. I'm advancing. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Here's the option. You either get revival personally in the midst of your troubles, or you're going to die spiritually. That can happen to me. That can happen to you. And I listen, I appreciate the respect y'all have for you give to me. Some of these young people, I appreciate the respect that I have from you. But I'm going to tell you what, I make sure that what you say to me and about me never goes to my head. Because I want to be aware of the fact of what I am, and if I don't get revived in my times of trouble, which means to keep alive, it means to keep alive, it means to nourish up. It means to preserve alive, to repair. Repair means something's wrong, something's broke, something's messed up. You know what revival will do? Listen, hey, come on now, folks, listen. Troubles will break you down. Troubles will cause breakdowns. Repair. Amen. Keep alive, nourish up, preserve alive, repair, recover, restore, to cause to grow. That's what revive means. God wants us to be growing in the midst of our troubles. What about that? Are we growing? Is your spiritual life growing? Listen, I'll be done in a minute. I believe God's trying to give us a word. External things is not my problem. Where's my salvation at? Is it external? My salvation's internal. Where's my spirit? Where's the Spirit of God at? External or internal? Amen. Where's my, in light of that, where's my spiritual life? Where's my spirituality? Where's the root of it? Where's the ground? Inward. The devil wants to cause such chaos and confusion and everything externally that we lose sight and forget about the internal, and the internal's not getting fed, and the internal's not getting nourished up, and the internal's not getting repaired and restored. Amen. And all of that. And next thing you know, the opposite of revival is taking place. I believe David is saying here when he said, though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. I believe he's saying that if I don't get revival, I'm going to die in my troubles. Boy, it's still getting good. But when God got in the picture, thou. Don't forget there's a thou. And you need to look the verses prior to that to see who that thou is. Oh. When the thou got in the picture, Brother Ivan, thou got bigger. Thou got bigger than the troubles. Instead of dying, he experienced revival. And the troubles, I'm reading between the lines, the troubles start speaking and say, no, you can't have joy. No, you've got to quit church. No, you've got to do this and that and the other. No. But right in the face of it, right in the face of trouble, God can revive us. And I'm concerned. I'm being honest. I'm concerned about some folk. We've already lost some. And if God don't move and work, we may lose some more. Is it God's will? Not in 100 miles. So what's the deal, preacher? Got in the midst of trouble. We got in the midst of trouble, and I preached it. I preached it. I preached it hard. I preached it, preached it, preached it. Since March, when all of this mess started, I kept preaching. Use the downtime to develop your spiritual life. Get close to God. Draw nigh to God so that when we come back to church, we'll be hitting the ground running. And I think very few people had did that. We got a little breeze this morning. Hopefully that whet our appetite. We'll finish up here. A little different style of preaching, but I'm enjoying it. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Boy, I like this. I just saw it. Boy, I love this book. It is alive, friend. This is not no novel or it's alive. I just saw this. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. I said that for emphasis. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies. And the Lord and thy right hand shall save me. He went from talking about him getting right, being revived, and then he switched from him to them, the enemies. See, we get that backwards. We want the Lord to deal with them without dealing with me. But if the Lord can get me right, Brother Brian, if the Lord can get me right, and verse number 1 describes what it means to be right when God has your whole heart. Whole heart, whole life, nothing left. If there's a whole, if he has the whole, that means there's nothing left. Woo, no scraps, no scraps, nothing left. When he has the whole, your whole heart. Your whole heart means he has your whole affection. He has your whole life. He has your whole desire. It is my desire. I still hear 3 or 4 sung it over the years. It's my desire. How's that song? It's my desire. It's my desire to be like Jesus. You still have that? Have you ever had that? I'm telling you, friend. We are in the midst of trouble. This is so applicable to our situation and our country, and it's getting worse by the day. Someone said to cure this corona mess, all you have to do is just quit watching the news. Amen. May the Lord help us to focus on the reviving. Thou wilt revive me. Lord, you said that I'm walking in the midst of trouble. You would revive me. Lord, I need revival. I'm trusting you. I'm going to put my focus on you rather than on my troubles. I could talk about them. I could write books about them. But instead of that, Lord, I want to focus on you. How much of that has been the emphasis today? How many testimonies? How many songs? How much has been the emphasis of that today? About focusing, staring, not just taking a glance at, but staring at the Lord. Thou wilt revive me. Mama. Well, amen. Are we done? Oh, no, we ain't done. Look at verse 8. That's the last verse, so don't pass out on me. Yeah, preacher. So what? It is the last verse. There's several words in there that you're wanting to do. No. No. Here's the last thing I want to show you. And I had to preach this by faith. The Lord will perfect that which is concerning me. That's why I need revival. Because if the troubles win, there's a purpose of God that's going to go unfinished, unfulfilled. Only me in a revived state that defies the trouble is going to enable God to perfect that which is concerning me. And that's future tense. Y'all did hear that? You did see it? The Lord will perfect that. That means there's some of God's business in my life that's yet to come. Listen, you've not done it all yet. You've not done it all yet. You've not seen it all. You've not experienced it all yet. No, there's yet a purpose of God yet for you in the future. And the Bible said, if you'll get revival, this is good right here. You know what revival means to most people, Brother McCarricker? The removal of trouble. Oh, Lord, you'll revive me. That means exit, move the troubles. I don't have any more troubles. That's not what it said. In the midst of trouble, thou will revive. You know what I want to pray? Oh, Lord, get me out of this. But rather, I should be praying, Lord, help me to get out of this what you want me to get out of it. Oh, my goodness. The Lord will perfect, complete, finish that which concerneth me. It sounds like Philippians 1:6, don't it? Being confident of this very thing, that he has, which hath begun a good work in you, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Revival in the midst of trouble.